Faith involves both sides of your brain. Making that act of faith, both sides of your brain. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Thursday, and if by this point in the week people are getting on your nerves, they're driving you crazy, they're whining, they're trying to get you to do their work when they can do it themselves, when they're not showing any courtesy or any respect for you and for you and what you stand for, hey, don't kill them, don't shoot them, don't strangle them. Love them. To love another person is to see the face of God. Oh, how hard that is. It is very hard, I know. The only way you can do that is override your natural inclination to smack them or scream at them. You override your natural inclination because you are a domestic mystic who is going to believe that God will bless you for loving people that just drive you crazy. Today, I want to talk about how we approach God from the left side of our brain and the right side of our brain. Last week on Thursday, I talked about how we not only have faith in God, we have faith in other people. We have faith in the institution of marriage. Even science is an act of faith. It begins with preparation and the rudiments of science. Then given that knowledge, the scientist gets a hunch. Maybe if we fiddle with this bread mold, we might come up with medicine. We'll call it penicillin. Maybe if we fold around this silicone chip, we might find a kind of conductor. Maybe out of this mountain of pitch blend, we could get just a small vial of radium. We see, those who study the way the human brain works discovers two quite different but complementary avenues to the truth. Two mental functions isolated more or less to the left and the right lobes of our brain. The left brain is analytic, taking things apart, rational, logical, organized, working in definitions and formulas. The right brain is intuitive, seeing things whole, insightful, engaging in hunches, operating in seeming leaps, working in symbols, pictures, stories. Each function is vital for a fuller, richer, less simplistic view of what's really out there. In the cases mentioned above, the scientist gets a right brain hunch about the bread mold and silicone and pitch blend and then turns that intuition over to the left brain to see if it does in fact work out rationally and physically. The two functions complement one another. If one were to work exclusively with the operations of the analytic left brain, for instance, there could be no such thing as friendship and love. Getting married and having children would be utterly foolish without guarantees. Integrity, patriotism, honesty, and humor simply wouldn't compute. All judgments of human behavior would be Puritan, unbending, merciless. Conversely, if one were to work exclusively with the operation of the intuitive right brain, any opinion would be self-justifying without any need to back it up with evidence. Everybody would be going off haphazardly in all directions at once. All judgments of human behavior would be random, wishy-washy, and spineless. Therefore, the two lobes of the brain need one another to achieve a balanced look at the truth, no matter what the question. To neglect either the rational powers of the left brain or the intuitive powers of the right brain is to act half-wittedly. To say that faith requires absolute certitude or that it is a blind leap without any evidence at all is, well, half-witted. An act of faith, and no matter what, is therefore neither a commitment on certitude nor an irrational leap. Rather, it's a bit of both, a calculated risk, an uneducated guess, a well-reasoned hunch. Both elements are essential for a well-rounded opinion. The calculated, educated, reasoned part and a risk-guess-hunch part. You will almost never have certitude about anything, but you come to a point where you have to make a commitment on a college, a career, a spouse, a child, an investment. God, You gather all the evidence and advice you can. That's the calculation part. And then you come to a point where you have a hunch that it all just feels right. That's the risk part. Then at least for a while, you have to give yourself to the decision to find if it is, in fact, right. In the case of friendship, one takes a greater risk at each stage of the relationship, often trusting the other before one is really certain that the other is up to it. The same is true of marriage and the scientists in her lab. Each act of trust fulfilled provides an even firmer basis for which to take the next leap. There is a risk, all right, just as it was for Olympic diver Greg Louganis, when unthinkably he cracked his head on the concrete high platform. After he was patched up, he climbed the ladder and dove again. It was a leap, all right, but it wasn't a blind leap. It was based on the advice of his coaches, the approval of his doctors, and those countless thousands of other successful dives that he had made. It was an act of faith, a calculated risk. Most of us would like things clear, either or. But reality fails to conform to our desires. One more proof that we are not God. For example, philosophers have always neatly defined humans as rational animals. It's far too simplistic, too reductionist, leaving out evidence which is not only crucial, but which definitively separates us from other animals that also have bodies and brains. There are distinctively human activities that simply cannot be reduced to rational or to animal, to body or brain, or a combination of the two, such as unselfish love, even for people we dislike, honor, when one could easily get away with something, the need for purpose and meaning, understanding, wisdom, good humor in the middle of terror. All these constitutively human activities, which no other animal has, defy reduction to body or brain. They are solid evidence of a third human power, the soul. And that's where faith happens. The principle of complementarity requires a greater tolerance for ambiguity than many people are able to muster. They want clear simplicities. The novel Lord of the Flies, for instance, agrees with Martin Luther that human beings are basically savage beasts, held in control only by the structures and strictures of organized society. The first third of any tabloid, magazine, or newspaper gives ample evidence of that truth. Conversely, however, the novel A Catcher in the Rye agrees with Jean-Jacques Rousseau that human beings are angelic innocents corrupted by the very same society. Stories of sublimely noble and non-typical humans like Mother Teresa, Terry Anderson, Nelson Mandela, and Helen Keller give ample evidence for that truth, too. Year after year, students say the two aforementioned books really tell it like it is, even though they are completely at odds with one another. But the students are right, because human beings are indeed both, at once. Complementarity. Even if the two assertions seem contradictory, you can understand human beings better if you allow them to be not either or, but both and. Is an electron a pellet or a wave? Yes. Are human beings beasts or angels? Yes. Are the operations of the left brain or the right brain more important? Yes. Is God utterly other or utterly this world? Yes. Is God three or one? Yes. Was Jesus God or man? Yes. Are the elements of the Eucharist bread and wine and body and blood? Or body and blood? Yes. So if you deal with God exclusively with your prove it left brain or exclusively with your blind leap right brain, you'll quite likely never find God, or at least the God most religions know. What we're attempting to do here on this Thursday is lessen the precariousness of the commitment and faith to a person you cannot see, who you cannot box into a definition or into a picture. We need to use both the right and the left brain. If God is going to prove himself, God can do that only in the way your other friends prove themselves. by noticing, by sharing time and talking, by sacrificing for one another, by trusting one another at rock bottom. And of course, this is a lifetime journey. But it's a journey that I strongly encourage you to make. So to use the left side of your brain, the right side of your brain, you gather the information, you based it on what you humanly experience, that some friendships are absolutely good, holy, sacrificial. You base it on your scripture, upon the people who wrote the Gospels, the letters in the New Testament. You find them credible witnesses. You hear about the difference that is made in people's lives, like Mother Teresa or Padre Pio, and you make your act of faith. Okay, here's today's food for thought. It comes from Richard Nixon. He wrote one, "Scrubbing floors and emptying bedpans has as much dignity as the presidency of the United States." Well, that's certainly food for thought, isn't it? The most common task has a dignity about it as much as the so-called supplying task in life. Who do I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for the women and the men of the Navy. Yesterday I had you pray for Army people. Today, let's pray for Navy people. God bless them. Keep them safe at home or at sea. Keep them safe in storms. Help them be able to help those lost at sea. Help them protect our country. Dear God, bless the Navy personnel of our country. Amen. Today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. A man in a hotel called room service. He said, "I want you to send up 2 burnt eggs, 2 undercooked pieces of bacon, some cold toast, and some weak coffee." And the person who answered the phone from room service says, "Why do you want such a terrible breakfast?" The man said, "Because I'm homesick." Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Listen, please let me know that you listen to the program. Here I am. I'm sitting in this room all by myself in front of the microphone recording this show. I'd love to hear from you. Just like to know people actually listen to my program. And if you do contact me, send me your prayer intention. You got something you're dealing with right now that's a little overwhelming that you could use a prayer partner? Contact me. I'll pray with you and for you. I will storm heaven. I take people's prayer intentions very seriously. Now, I need your help to keep my hospital open in Oaxaca, Mexico. Okay, could you write a check for whatever amount, send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Make the check out to TASH, Tash Inc. Again, send it to me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And if you use the internet, I think you'll really enjoy my website. The radio shows are on there, inspiration and humor, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee.